Ask an advisor why they haven't moved yet, and they almost never talk about the decision. They talk about the middle. Clients in limbo, accounts floating between firms, a practice on pause while everything sits in boxes. That picture is a blur, and you cannot plan a blur. Today, I'm giving it edges, the four phases of a transition, what each one actually involves, and why the only part your clients ever feel is measured in weeks. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. If a move is somewhere on your horizon this year, next year, someday, this one's for you. By the end, you'll know the four phases, which one nearly every horror story traces back to, and how much of the whole thing your clients actually notice. So, the four phases: preparation, resignation, client conversations, and account transfers, settling in. They behave nothing alike. The first is slow and invisible. The second is a single day. The third is a sprint. The fourth is a recovery nobody puts on the plan, and the order matters because each phase exists to make the next one boring. Phase one is preparation, and it's the longest of the four. Clients never see a minute of it. The work sorts into four stacks. Stack one, your paper, the employment agreement and its restrictive covenants, any promissory note left over from an old recruiting bonus, the vesting schedule on your deferred compensation, the money you forfeit or fight over by leaving early. What those documents permit shapes every later step, and reading them properly is a weeks-long job with an attorney, not an evening with a highlighter. Stack two, the protocol question. The broker protocol is the industry agreement that lets a departing advisor take a limited set of client information to a new firm. It only applies when the firm you're leaving and the firm you're joining are both members. Membership moves. The administrator's October 2025 list shows more than 2,000 signatory firms, and some of the biggest names in the business stepped in and then stepped back out around 2017 and 2018. So you confirm both firms' status in writing close to the move. You never assume it. Stack three, counsel. Most employee advisors have never retained a securities attorney because the firm's compliance department always stood in that spot. That gap shows up at the worst possible moment if you leave it open. So get the right attorney in your corner while the move is still theoretical. And stack four, the destination. First the lane, your own registered investment advisor firm, an RIA or a tuck-in, a supported platform, another employee firm, then the specific partner, then the operational spine, custodian, technology, office, team. The transition staff at a good destination start pre-building your account paperwork during this phase in the background, and that single habit is why the later sprint feels standardized instead of improvised. Phase two is resignation day, and it's the most procedural moment of the entire move. Under the protocol, the mechanics are exact, and the official protocol text spells them out. You resign in writing, delivered to local branch management. You take only five pieces of client information, and only for the clients you personally serviced: name, address, phone number, email address, and account title. Nothing beyond that. No account numbers, no statements, no copies of firm documents. And two lists exist that day. The list you take holds the five fields. The copy you leave with the branch also includes the account numbers. Swapping those two lists is the classic self-inflicted wound. The moment your resignation is delivered, your registrations start moving to the new firm and you may begin contacting clients with the permitted information. If either firm is not a protocol member, the day runs on your agreements and state law instead, and the script for it comes from your attorney, not from a podcast. Phase three is the stretch everyone fears, and it's the shortest of the four. It's also the only one your clients experience. You contact the clients you personally served, you tell them where you've gone and why, and each one decides. Every yes becomes account paperwork. Most transfers run through ACATS, the Automated Customer Account Transfer Service, the industry's standardized transfer system, and the constraint is volume, not mystery. Cash and ordinary securities move fast. The stalls come from predictable places, account titles that don't match exactly, annuities and proprietary products that can't transfer in kind, and held away assets that need their own forms. A well-built phase one packet sees all three coming. For a few concentrated weeks, your part advisor, part project manager, part reassurance desk. Forms out, signatures chased, transfer statuses tracked, nervous clients called back the same day. The window has a consistent shape too. An announcement wave in the first days, a paperwork peak as the early yeses sign, then a lengthening tail of stragglers and special handling accounts. Knowing that curve matters because the tail can feel like failure when it's actually the process working as designed. And then the sprint ends. It genuinely does. The risk in phase three concentrates in two places. Contact outside what your agreements and the protocol permit, reaching out before you've resigned or using information beyond the five fields, is what turns a routine move into a legal event. And understaffing the paperwork season is what turns a three-week sprint into a three-month grind. Notice that both of those are phase one failures showing up late. Almost every transition horror story is a phase one story wearing a phase three costume. Phase four is settling in and nobody plans it. After the accounts land, the work turns inward. Systems tuned, rhythms rebuilt, the practice starting to feel like yours. The move is done when a client calls with a routine question and the answer runs through your new stack without friction, not when the last account transfers. Put that stretch on the plan with a name on it, because advisors who skip it tend to judge the whole decision by how tired they are a month in. That's recovery, not regret. So how much of this do clients actually notice? Far less than the dread suggests. Phase one is invisible by design. Phase two is a day. Phase four is internal. The entire client-facing surface of a transition is phase three. And even there, what any single client experiences is one conversation, one packet of paperwork, and a confirmation that their accounts arrived. A month's scale project for you, a week scale event for the practice, a single decision point for each client. The dread imagines the whole timeline happening to everyone at once. The plan makes sure it never does. One more point before I wrap up. The paper in phase one, the covenants, the notes, the deferred comp schedule, is exactly what you want a securities attorney reading before resignation day, not after. Most advisors don't have one on call, and that's the point. Get the right person in your corner while no clock is ticking. If a move is somewhere on your horizon and you want to know which phase you're actually standing in, we built a short assessment for exactly that. It's free on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. 2 minutes and you'll know what the next phase asks of you. A plan with edges beats a picture without them. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.